when we just happen to be there when a baby takes their first steps, or when those notes of birdsong or a great piece of music grace our ears. Our winter holiday season is a time of wonders. The seasonal cycle of Earth's dance around the sun, nights growing longer and days shorter until we reach the winter solstice, and the sun miraculously begins to return a little more each day. The wonder of that. The Advent anticipation as December progresses week by week toward the wondrous birth of the Holy Child, a powerful moment for our Christian members and friends and neighbors, a moment when even those of us who are not Christian may also feel awestruck by the idea of such a power emerging into our human sphere. With our Jewish members, friends, and neighbors, this is also a time to celebrate the wonder that a courageous few can indeed cause justice to prevail, and also a time to wonder before the Hanukkah light, the holy light that prevails in a time of great need. And of course, there's Kwanzaa on the horizon too, if we look out a little further, a time of delight for our African-American friends and neighbors as family and culture are celebrated, and the miracle of resilience and strength in the face of oppression is honored. A wonder that all of us can learn from. And then to tie a final bow on that season of wonder comes the new year with those magical possibilities around making a fresh start with new resolve. So many wonders, right? Surely this is the season, this is the season that can offer us that direct experience of transcending mystery and wonder and move us to a renewal of the spirit and openness to the forces that create and uphold life. Anybody recognize those words? They're from one of the Unitarian Universalist sources that we claim as part of the foundation of our faith. Surely this is the season for that. Well, maybe. Maybe not. For a lot of us, this season of wonder and wonders is also a season of stress, grief, and anxiety. So many tugs on our hearts. Memories of past holidays, shorter, colder days that keep us indoors, feelings of grief for loved ones we've lost to death or estrangement. Now I feel that at the holidays. Financial stress, or maybe that desperate desire that our culture puts in us to create perfect holidays, that desperate desire that we know must fail. Aspects of the season we think should be joyful pull on us too and can make us feel numb, the traveling, the shopping, the cooking, the decorating. In the midst of all of this, these wonders, the expectations, the worries, how do we get in touch with our own sense of wonder? Well, maybe, like Alice in Lewis Carroll's famous book, Alice in Wonderland, we have to dare to go adventuring in Wonderland. But what we seek in Wonderland is not the same thing that Alice needs. Alice found that she had to give up imagination, innocence, and her child's open and unprejudiced mind so that she could grow up and make her way in the adult world of rules and regs. But we have to enter Wonderland to find those things she gave up. We enter as a way to practice our dance with mystery and wonder. So, do we really have to do this? And why? Well, I think we have to, because the experience of wonder and the ability to feel awe are essential to being and becoming fully human. Imagination, storytelling, curiosity, the scientific inquiry process, poetry, dance, music, like the wonderful Sacred Breath Choir, all of these and other arts come from our encounters with mystery and wonder. Our religious impulse comes from there too, Universalist, Unitarian Universalist educator Sophia Lyon Foss claimed that our earliest religious beliefs came out of direct encounters with the bedrock wonders and phenomenon of the natural world, earth and sky, animals and plants, and from intensely personal experiences of birth and love, sickness, joy, death, and the mystery of our inner thoughts and our dreams, our feelings. Science, of course, can't explain the constellations of stars that light up our hearts and the conflagration of brain chemicals that transmit our feelings of awe. But explanations can take the place of experiences, which allow us to transcend our finitude and touch realms beyond our understanding. It's like Socrates is rumored to have said, wisdom begins in wonder. So we're fortunate that the doorways into Wonderland are everywhere. They're all around us. In a sermon, my esteemed elder colleague, Richard Gilbert, spoke of the wonder that wells up when he simply says hello or goodbye to someone in his life, or when he simply pays attention to the lovely and regular pattern of his breathing, kind of like in the Time for All Ages that Genevieve shared with us. He also says it wells up when he pays mindful attention to the miracle of food that he takes into his body. Those simple practices of mindfulness, Richard Gilbert found that the more he practiced noticing those things in his life, the more the common things became uncommon and the ordinary ones became so extraordinary, so sacred, he was moved to bow in gratitude before life's mystery. So another kind of doorway into Wonderland is found in particular places where we've experienced a sense of oneness, that feeling that the separation between us and the world has disappeared. Lake Michigan is one of those places for me. I was only a teenager the first time this happened to me. It was a cool summer night when I was camping on the beach in the cemetery in St. Ignace, Michigan, with a group of friends who worked with me at a YMCA camp in northern Michigan. I grew up in Michigan. We were on a field trip, kind of. We'd taken a couple days away from our camp duties to head up to Mackinac Island, and we were camping in the cemetery because, like many of us, when we are teenagers, we don't plan ahead particularly well. And we'd arrived at dusk to find that the state park campground next door to the cemetery was totally full. So under cover of darkness, we set up our tents away from the graves on the edge where grass meets sand. And we slept without fear, waking at dawn to the sound of the lapping waves and pink light in the east. Lake Michigan called to me. Following that pull, I went in first to my ankles and then knees and hips, and then fully clothed, I reached for the embrace of the waves and I dissolved into oneness with that cool, cool water. It felt like a prayer, a holy rite. In the embrace of Sacred Lake Michigan, I found my true home. My colleague, the Reverend Nancy McDonald Ladd, tells of another such experience, except hers was in a completely different kind of place. She wrote, I was in a packed subway car, grasping the overhead railing, pondering the meaning of life, when the subway jammed itself to a halt. Apparently, a soccer game had just let out, and a tidal wave of soccer fan arms and legs and backpacks and chattering voices pressed themselves in through the tiny door, elbowing and complaining as they angled for precious space. There was no place left for me to put my arms, so I folded them over my chest, mummy style, and waited for the car to move. And waited. And waited. And waited. After what seemed like an eternity, Auntie Ladd says that a crackling loudspeaker announced that due to technical difficulties, the car will not be moving for some time. She wrote, "The herd of humanity around me heaved a common sigh of grievance. A stranger's clammy arm pressed against the back of my head, a stranger's sharp umbrella poked me in the side, and a stranger's broad back bore the weight of my protruding shoulder. When I inhaled, the expansion of my body pushed into everyone around me. When they exhaled, a part of me deflated. We were so tightly packed that every movement, every cough, every futile attempt to scratch an itch reached directly affected everyone in the subway car. Finally, we did begin to move 10 feet at a time, lurching and then grinding to an abrupt halt again and again and again. As the car moved in its jerking dance, first we fell to the right and then to the left, always falling into each other. Then I heard the voice of the man next to me say simply, "Well, we's all family now." Yeah, we's all family now. The mass of humanity in the car laughed together. And right there, says Nancy Lett, through some bizarre grace, I felt my lonely self held up, buoyed by an unbidden and unplanned force of humanity. Right there in the midst of smelly, crowded, hot, and inconvenient life, I felt the presence of the whole. You don't have to believe in the supernatural. You don't have to be religious or even spiritual to find those doorways to Wonderland. While supernatural is traditionally defined as having to do with some kind of intervention from beyond the world of our knowledge and senses, it can also mean something that is whole, something that is so completely true to its nature, it's not separated in any way from its purpose. And thus, even staunch atheist Richard Dawkins can cite the reasons why we should go to Wonderland. He writes that science can give us the feeling of awe and wonder that is one of the highest experiences of which the human psyche is capable. It is a deep aesthetic passion, he says, to rank with the finest that music and poetry can offer. It is truly one of the things that makes life worth living. And it does so, if anything, he says, more effectively if it convinces us that the time we have for living is actually quite finite. The holiday season is upon us with all its rush and bustle, all its longing, beauty, and mind-numbing preoccupations, all its reminders that we have nearly completed yet one more journey around the sun in these all too finite lives. And really, who among us knows how many more such journeys we actually have? Being here together today, we step toward a life full of meaning and joy. That's what UU congregations are for, to give us a place and a time for meaning making, a place where we can question and comfort ourselves and one another, a place to shed our isolation and work together for our good and especially the common good. Like Alice, we've entered Wonderland, seeking within it the secrets that will help us grow, but not into adulthood, into the rich, soulful fullness of our humanity. But being here, it's only a first step. Experiencing that transcending mystery and wonder our UU faith draws upon sometimes simply happens when we least expect it. But if we practice, if we take time to consciously be open to mystery, Wonderland is much more likely to open to us and transform us, give us energy and inspiration that we can then give back to our hurting world. And so, just a few final words of encouragement to guide us through the wonderful season, the remains of the wonderful season. First of all, we can notice when the twin shadows of cynicism and overwhelm are with us and pause to shift our mindset away from these spirit sounds. And it's not hard to pause to look up at the sky, to look down at the earth, to slow down and really see those things, and also to really take in the people all around you. Just take a moment and look at the people who are around in this room. What are their eyes saying? What are they doing with their hands? It only takes a moment too to awaken to the poignancy of greeting and bidding farewell to those we love. Opening our senses to the music of the earth and the music of one another. Opening our senses to take in the smells, both delicious and disgusting. These too can help us touch that well of wonder that's deep within us. Light a candle. Enjoy the flicker of the flame. Take a walk with a friend in the afternoon as dusk turns to dark. Read about the latest scientific discovery and gasp with awe. Think of Richard Dawkins. Yeah, baby. Read a book you loved as a child. Perhaps even Alice in Wonderland, and let memories rise up. Hang out with kids. See the world through their eyes and their ears and fingertips. Play with Legos, play with whipped cream, make a snowflake. Tell somebody you love them. Watch for the diamond sparkle on the snow when the sun shines. Let the amazing world we live in take your breath away, because Wonderland is everywhere. And as my friend and colleague, the Reverend Barbara Peskin, might say, let us remember to praise, to live in the moment, to love mightily, and to bow to the mystery. Shalom, blessed be, Ashe, and Shalom.